Welcome to the Cemetery Chronicles. Hosted by two friends who manage cemeteries in the Twin Cities, this podcast takes you behind the gates and into the unique world of cemeteries. Join us as we share heartfelt stories, unexpected humor, and the profound moments that come with a career dedicated to honoring life and legacy. Here are your hosts, Dominic Pierre and Bobby Schoenrock.
Well, welcome to the Cemetery Chronicles. This is Dominic Pierre.
And I'm Bobby Schoenrock.
This is going to be our first podcast, so bear with us. If we have microphone issues or whatnot, we don't know what we're doing. So
That's true. That's very true.
So we're just trying this out. Hopefully by podcast 2005, we'll have it all figured out. Our goal here is probably to have this, try to do this weekly here. I'll let Bobby introduce himself a little bit. We're both members of the Mac board, but Bobby, go ahead.
Yep, Bobby Schoenrock here. I'm over at Oakland Cemetery in St. Paul, Minnesota. Been there now for about 25 years, and before that, my dad's been running Oakland for, well, since the late 70s, early 80s. So I've been a part of that for a long time, been around the cemetery business forever. My family owns a granite company as well, which is right across the street from our cemetery, and that's been in our family since 1894, so wow. Kind of been around the cemetery business for quite some time.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, and I manage a cemetery here on the east side, Union Cemetery in Maplewood. I've been the superintendent here just for about 3 or 4 years now, and my father was the superintendent prior to me. Same thing. I kind of grew up in this industry. Bobby and I are actually pretty much the same age. We grew up in the industry together, going to the cemetery conventions together as wee lads and playing basketball and swimming
yeah,
in the pools.
Breezy
together.
Point. And, yeah. Yeah.
So we've been surrounded by it. I mean, there's stories of me going up to the parks and, you know, they have those little diggers and me pretending to be my dad and telling everybody at the park, hey, I'm digging a grave, and all the kids around me going, what the heck are you talking about, dude?
Yep. It's nice to find someone that understands what you understand growing up in the cemetery business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? That's the fun part about the connections that you make with the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries and the convention and whatnot. You can kind of let your guard down and talk about your industry, because you go out in public and people ask you what you do, and it's kind of one of those things, like, what do I say? Like, do I manage, you know, what do I do? You know, say you manage a cemetery, and either kills the conversation or you get this weird look.
You see dead bodies every day?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we actually had that today. I was at a meeting with landscape folks, and what do you do? Oh, I manage a cemetery. And they just go, so what do you do? That's usually the next question. Like, well, I mean, it's basically what don't I do?
Yeah, yeah. Jack of all, master of none. That's what I say.
That's exactly what I say. Yeah, we pretty much have to do everything, but I'm not a master of anything. So
that's for sure.
Yeah. So we're kind of thinking with this podcast that we might take questions from folks out there who might be listening and have some questions that we might be able to at least give our insight on. I can't guarantee that it's going to be 100% accurate, but at least we can give our thoughts to some things. So if you do have questions, feel free to shoot an email, info@mncemeteries.org. I'll get those emails and I can shoot them off to Bobby, and we can discuss how we're going to attack it. I know, like I was telling Bobby prior to this, that you know, we'll both give our opinions, and a lot of times they may differ, and I might have to explain to Bobby why he's wrong.
I'm never wrong.
But we'll I think this is going to be a fun little way to engage some of the folks. I don't know if we talked about Minnesota Association of Cemeteries. Bobby is the current president of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries, and I'm the secretary treasurer. So it will be a fun way to engage the membership here and try to talk about some things that are going on in the industry. Speaking of that, let's kind of dive in with some things. One thing that was on my mind is actually this happened today to me. And I don't know, do you guys do a Facebook page or have any social media for your cemetery?
We don't. Someone else does a Facebook page for
our
cemetery.
Are you serious? Yeah. Outside of Oakland?
Yeah. It says right on there, not include, you know, whatever it is, not involved with the business or whatever, but yeah, that we do not do any social media.
Okay. Well, we try to engage a little bit. We created our own Facebook page, and I wanted to see what your thought. Maybe this is your thought. Just don't even get involved with social media. But our office manager, she does a fantastic job with our Facebook page and tries to just get out there and coordinate with the public and just be out there and engaging and just with relevant things that are going on. Like currently today we posted a recipe for a snack for a charcuterie board, actually, for the Super Bowl. You know, Super Bowl's coming up on Sunday, so we just tried to engage that way. Yeah. And had somebody negatively post on it, like, oh my, you know, basically, you know, this is my cemetery. It's so disappointing that you would post something like this. And, you know, I actually used ChatGPT, came up with a little message that was trying to be empathetic and come back and just say, you know, we appreciate your thoughts. We just tried to be engaging with the public. But what do you do in those situations? It's like...
hardest part about, I think, our job and in this business is you have to deal with people who are upset and not necessarily upset at you, yeah, but just upset about a death in their family, and they take it out on you.
Yeah.
So you can just try to engage with someone and get the nasty end of it, which you guys got today. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. My thought is you always have to just show empathy on the way back, because what they're hoping, I guess maybe they aren't hoping, but I can assume if you come back nasty or any tone of nastiness, they're going to love that and run with it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, yeah.
Well, that's what they're looking for. They want to engage in an argument.
Yeah.
You know, that's the unfortunate part. As far as social media, if you would have asked me probably even a year or two ago, my thoughts on it, I would say you're crazy for even doing it.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was a need for it, but the more and more social media has just kind of taken over everything, I'm not necessarily opposed to it anymore. I just see that the interactions, you can post things, people can post things back. They may not all be good, like what you got today, but you do still have an interaction with a community, which is a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, hopefully, the folks that... And this is one of the things that I found refreshing, at least in her post. She tried to be polite. I will give her credit there in showing her disappointment to us. But also what she said, she did say, this is disappointing. This is my cemetery, which I thought was encouraging that somebody shows ownership.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is your cemetery. And that's, I want people to feel that way. And that's why we do this in the first place, so that people can feel ownership in this cemetery.
Yeah. And realistically, as being both nonprofit cemeteries, it is partially some of their ownership of the cemetery, right?
Yeah.
So you want people to engage in that way. You want them to feel like this is something that they can take pride in, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we both know we work real hard in the hopes that we get people to take pride in the cemetery and to help us keep it looking the way that they do, which is usually good, sometimes not.
Yeah. That's a difficult thing, too. I mean, going down that road, I mean, I think we had a conversation about this the other day on how, especially around Memorial Day, you work so hard to make your cemetery look good, and then you have people who, and I have to rephrase this, you have a lot of people compliment, and I don't want to take away from the fact that you have a ton of people who are complimenting you, but there's the one or two that come up and they're looking at their specific lot, their specific grave, and you know, there was a blade of grass that wasn't cut, and they're upset about it, and they want you to know about it, and the one thing you want to do is you're so frustrated because you're working long days, you're working really very, very hard to make sure the cemetery looks as fantastic as possible, against everything going against you, with the grass growing, you know, 4 inches a week, and you just want to just strangle the person, but you have to contain that and just be like, I be empathetic and just, oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I mean, it's very difficult.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever in my life thought I would say, we'll work harder, or I will do better so many times, other than from May 15th to June 15th. Yeah, it's probably the hardest thing about this job is that you can put everything you have into it and still get complaints. And there are people who are very sympathetic and get a lot of compliments from, but then you have your people who just, they want to complain. And the hardest part is I think a lot of them are more grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and it's just, they want somebody to listen.
Yeah.
I don't know if they necessarily want to complain that much.
Yeah.
Is that they just are grieving.
Yeah.
And that's the way that they can get it out. So sometimes you got to be the punching bag.
Yeah. And that's a good thing to remember too, that's all you are, is being the punching bag, because it's so easy to take that at home at night and, you know, take those grievances and affect your attitude and affect your day. You have to divest that when you leave the doors of work and enjoy your life and not dwell on it. That's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, and I think everybody faces this one way or another in every profession that there is. Maybe more so in some than others, especially when you deal with people.
Yeah.
And it can be challenging, but yes, the hardest part is when you go home at night to still be positive when someone just chewed your ear off for 20 minutes right before you left work. Yeah. And you're thinking, man, this is the best the cemetery's looked. Everything's great. No one's going to complain this year. And then that one person shows up.
Well, that's exactly it. And you got to always realize that it's you're always going to get somebody, no matter what you think, somebody's going to complain. And you're exactly right. It's because they're grieving. They don't know how else to express their emotions. Sometimes, you know, their spouse may have just died. They don't have anybody else. They don't know how to release the emotions, and it just ends up you're the guy there. Or what I experienced too, it seems like people view us as a cemetery, and I bet you funeral directors get this as well. If you didn't work in this industry, my loved one wouldn't have died. You know, it's so irrational, but however, that's how it's coming off, at that you work in this industry, or they have the thought that you're taking advantage of me at a time of grief. Well, you get that a lot, and it's just people are angry, and there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah, and sometimes those people come back a couple days later and apologize.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, pretty humbling for those people. And that's the first thing I always say to those people when they come back is, you know, you didn't have to do this, but I do really appreciate you coming back and apologizing, because I know you were having a tough time that day and we were just trying to get through whatever you were had going on. And so I do appreciate when people come back and admit they're wrong, and we try to admit when we're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm never wrong, but sometimes they have to admit that I'm wrong.
I agree with that. I mean, I had a lady who just chewed me out, and I can't even remember what it was. And I tried to be as kind as possible, and it ended up, I can't remember what it was, but it ended up something that, you know, that wasn't, she found out it wasn't our fault. And she brought me a box of chocolates. It was Valentine's Day. She brought me a chocolate. And I'll tell you what, I remember that, and I remember her, and all is well, obviously. And she's become an advocate for the cemetery, basically. And you can make your worst enemies sometimes become the biggest advocates for the cemetery, just working on that relationship with them. Yep. And there's also times where that person is just going to hate you as no matter what, and you just dread it whenever you see that name come up on the caller ID, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we had a gentleman who used to complain, and we listened for years, and now again, he is a huge advocate for the cemetery. You know, one of our biggest supporters.
Yeah.
And again, drops cookies off twice a year. He's in just about every day, constantly talks to our summer help that are cutting grass, talks about how beautiful the cemetery is. And for years we battled with him, but we listened to him.
Yeah.
And we didn't shut him down completely. And I think because we took the time to hear him out multiple times over and over, year after year, he changed.
Yeah. And it might be the fact too. And I mean, obviously I'm not a psychologist. Like I said, we're a jack of all trades, master of none, but you kind of have to dabble in everything. I'm curious if they get to the point in their grieving process where they can kind of realize that some of the things that they did in the past was kind of ridiculous. And that's their way of making amends, but also realizing, hey, basically saying, hey, thank you for being there for me, even though it probably wasn't the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, 100%. I think one of the best compliments that we can get as being a person at a cemetery and dealing with families is when a family tells you, you made this the easiest thing for us, because that's what it needs to be.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And it's a battle. And it's the final thing that happens.
Yeah.
And so we're the last people that they come to. And once they leave us, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really hard thing to come to terms to. So when someone can tell us that we made things easy for them, boy, does it turn things around real fast for me. Like that, to me, is one of the biggest compliments I can get. You know, it doesn't matter if they tell me the cemetery looks beautiful, but if someone can tell me that you just made the last 45 minutes of meeting with you one of the easiest parts of what just happened, then we can, you know, hopefully have made an impact on their lives, because we see them, people, at some of their worst moments.
Oh, yeah. And I guess a segue from kind of the grieving aspect for folks, I mean, what do you view as the best way to make it the easiest process for a family that walks in the door? Is it kind of, you know, not by guess, but you kind of judge it by what the family that comes in, and it's unique for every single family?
Yep, probably the hardest thing about the job.
Yeah.
How do you read someone?
Yeah.
Not an easy thing. My grandfather, who was in the monument business, he could read people really well. I think my dad does a really nice job of it. You know, I can't say for certain other cemeteries because I don't see them in action, but I feel like I can read people pretty good, but it's still the hardest thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
How do you get through? Are they okay with a laugh? Do they need an arm around them? Do they need you to explain everything in great detail, or can you kind of, you know, buzz over the top and get to the main points because they want to get out of there as fast as possible? Very difficult. Very difficult.
I find it that sometimes when I get that comment that, you know, you made this very easy. It all depends. There's families that we just did everything. They wanted to have a grave next to a loved one. We were able to find that. We were able to make it very quick. They were able to sign their burial site agreement and do payment, and they're out of the office in a half hour. And they just explained, like, this was what we needed. You made it so easy for us, because typically it's a long day for them. They've already been at the funeral home for several hours, planning the service, doing everything. And the last thing I want to do is spend several more hours at the cemetery. But then you get the families who haven't had that experience for the day. You know, they decided that they're going to do direct cremation. They've had the cremated remains. Now they're deciding they want to plan the service, and you're the guy that they're planning the service with, and they want to spend hours with you, and that's what they want. Yeah.
Yep. So it's such a difficult thing to do. It truly is. And I don't know if your average person truly will ever understand what that's like. You know, there are difficult times in jobs where you miss deadlines and then it goes to another day. But in the cemetery business, we can't miss deadlines.
Yeah.
And we can't say, well, we'll wait a day or two or a week or 6 months. Like, things have to happen now.
Yeah.
So when someone comes in and says, a family member died 25 years ago, we're trying to get close to them in a very popular area, and you have to dig and research and do. Sometimes you have to stay late and try to find a spot for them and do what you can and have to call them back in a couple hours or have them sit in your office for 40 minutes while you're digging around trying to find something. So that all that stuff is just very difficult. And I don't think your average person really truly understands, like, what that takes out of a person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of the ways that we don't understand what nurses and doctors go through in certain ways when they're trying to save lives and do the things that they have to do. But again, just a very difficult thing is trying to read people and try to be compassionate for people in ways that they need.
Yeah.
Because we can't read their mind to see what they need.
Well, yeah, and that starts almost with having that conversation and getting to know that family that's with you. And because they don't know exactly what can be done at the cemetery for a service, a graveside service or whatnot either. And so trying to read the family and trying to get to know them a little bit better so you can understand, like, does this family, do they want to watch a full burial? Do they want to watch the casket get lowered? Do they, I mean, these things, they may not even know that those are options for them. But if it's going to help them with the grieving process, you can kind of, you can feel that out when you're sitting and talking with them and realize, you know what? This family's having a really difficult time. Maybe it's one of those things that I could suggest. Would you like to watch the casket be lowered? Sometimes that helps with grieving, and or if you don't, that's all right. And that can be a game time decision. Let us know. You know, those types of things that can help families out.
Yeah, I know our dads and the guys before us will give us crap about this comment, but they had it a lot easier because things were just kind of. You came to the cemetery, you had your service, and you left.
Yeah.
Once you left, the body got lowered. Well, the funeral director, the vault company, and the cemetery worked together, lowered the body, then went from there. Today, everyone's different. Oh, everything's different. All the cremations are different.
Yeah.
All the traditional burials have just kind of gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
So, like I said, our dads will give us crap about that one. But it's definitely a lot easier when things were done kind of a certain way.
Yeah.
Everybody's so different now with different personalities, different religions. Both of us have non-denominational cemeteries, right?
Yeah.
So, we face difficulties in trying to just get to what everyone's needs are.
I'm hearing the generations before us right now, Bobby, come down screaming screaming at the top of their lungs. So to quell that a little bit, I understand you're probably, because I'm hearing it in the back of my mind, well, you have an air-conditioned backhoe and a heated backhoe that you're in taking, you know.
Yep.
and our heated garage to work on this. Yes, I agree that there's definitely things that are easier for us, but that is one way that it is more difficult, definitely, because there was a formula to it before. There was a death on Monday. You had a visitation, then it would be either Wednesday or Thursday, and burial would be Thursday or Friday.
Yep.
You knew it was always the same formula.
Yeah.
That is not the case. Even for a full casket burial now, there could be a death on Monday, and the burial's not going to be for another 3 weeks,
yeah.
4 weeks, months. Who knows?
Yeah. You just don't know anymore.
Yeah, you don't. And then also what you're experiencing coming into the office, especially with direct cremation, is now you have to be the funeral director, you have to be the pastor, you have to be everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where it's quite daunting.
Well, nothing's more interesting than when you go up to a service, a cremation service, and they don't really have much planned, and then they said, do you have anything you want to say? And I look around, and I said, well, I don't have anything I want to say.
I know.
But do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah. Or when they look at you, they're all sitting there looking at each other, and then they look at you, or... Well, are you going to say something? Oh, goodness. And I always have it in the back pocket. And my dad was good at this. And it's where you just have to be ready. Oh, well, let's do the Lord's Prayer together. And then
that's good.
Or are you Christian or whatnot? Let's do the Lord's Prayer together. And then also, why don't we share some memories about Jack? Let's, or Uncle Jack, or whoever it is, and then try to invite people up and share memories. And then there you go. You're good to go.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it has to be. And I try, you try to explain that to them when they come to the office, right, for the first time. But then once everybody gets there and everybody gets confused what's going on because there's no one really leading it, right, then that becomes a little bit more of a task.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of a whole new ball game now.
Oh, yeah.
Even from when I first started and you first started, the first few funerals I did were very traditional, very – matter of fact, right?
Yep.
Everybody left. Even the cremations came. They came in procession, went up to the graveside. They had a pastor or a minister or whoever, a chaplain, a deacon, whoever came, said some words, and then left.
Yep.
And then we took care of everything. And and that's not the case anymore.
No,
Families want to be more of a part of it. A lot of our cremations want to get down on their knees and put the urn right into the vault that we have, and they want to put dirt on the top, and they want to be a big part of everything.
Yeah, and I think that's a challenge for us to try to figure out how to make the funeral process here at the cemetery as personalized as possible. And what's difficult about that, I mean, obviously, I think that's something that we need to do just for to stay relevant today. However, it takes up so much time, and how do you manage that? And not to talk specifics about, you know, costs for interments, but I understand where cemeteries are going and matching the interment rate for cremation to the same as what their traditional full casket of burial is, because it is so much more work and so much more time. We're not there yet. We don't do that where it's matched, but I understand why cemeteries do that.
Yeah, and I can see it too. We're not there yet either. We're still a ways away, but I just last year we had a cremation come in, and they were there for 2 hours, and I had to meet with another family, so I had left one of my full-time guys there and told the guy, when you're ready, let him know. He let the guy know. The guy came up there, put it in, filled it in, did everything. Our guy leaves, and that guy shows up at our office and chews our secretary a new one and says, what, your guys don't have patience? They can't wait till we're gone before they clean up and do all this. And, you know, definitely a big miscommunication is what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But the guy even waved him over and said, you're okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
And that's one of those frustrating parts. Like I said, I was down there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I had another family coming in, and
yep.
And 2 hours to be at outside at a cemetery site's a very long time.
Yep.
You know, an hour should be about max, really.
Yep. Yep.
And you know, a half hour to 40 minutes, because most of the stuff you think can be done ahead of time.
Yeah.
But with the direct cremation, that's part of what we have to deal with now. And like you said, it to pay someone to have to be down there for that long, just standing there is.
Yep.
Gets pretty tough, because in our business there isn't a lot of money to go around.
Yeah.
Whatever money's coming in is going right back into that cemetery.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of work to do, and there's more work that needs to get done, and to be down there for that long does get difficult.
Oh yeah, and you have a smile on your face, and you're standing there the whole time thinking in your head, oh my goodness, I have so many other things I need to be doing right now. But you try not to convey that frustration outwardly so the family doesn't feel rushed or whatnot.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. When we explicitly in our office, we try hard when we have families come in, and we try to, because you don't necessarily know what's going on, if it's direct cremation or if a funeral home is going to be out or whatnot. So to get that, to extract that information, and then when you figure out it is direct cremation and there's going to be no funeral home present, to try to inform the family what the expectations are, what they're going to see that day, you know, what we're going to have set up. We'll have a table set up, these things set up for you. Typically, it's typically a half hour to an hour to be kind of to let them know what that time is. And most of the time, what we're finding since we've done that is that the families that are with you, the immediate families, are very, very on board with what you're suggesting to them. But then the day comes and you have the rest of the family who wasn't involved in that conversation. And they're the ones, you know, after an hour, when you go back up to the family after an hour, is this all right if we, you know, fill in this grave, or if is it all right if we place the ashes now? And they say yes. But then Uncle Bob, you know, is upset. You're rushing us. Well, you weren't involved in the conversation. Yeah. So that's what's difficult.
Yeah. And it's hard.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, you know, we're not trying to be non-sympathetic in this.
Yeah.
It's just, if everyone had to stop what they were doing at their job for 2 hours, and I know this is part of our job, but not 2 hours long.
Yeah.
Normally. So if you had to stop doing what you were doing for 2 hours, keep a smile on your face, knowing you have another 2 hours worth of work, and it's, yeah, almost time to go home, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's difficult. And like I said, we're not trying to be non-sympathetic about it, but in the same tone, it's getting harder and harder year after year, because there's just not a traditional way to do things, yeah, anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's where we kind of miss that tradition of come to the cemetery, you know, do your thing. If you want to see it lowered, yes, we can do that. But it all kind of happened within that half hour, 45 minutes.
So. No, that's it is difficult that way, and a lot of times, many of the times, it's not even that I'm Yeah, and you're exactly right. The empathy, especially if I don't have other appointments or another funeral, I can do it. I can definitely be with this family. It's when you have other families that you have appointments that, you know, you've figured, okay, they gave this family an hour and a half for a funeral, so I scheduled an appointment an hour and a half later, assuming you're all right, or you have another funeral I have to attend. And I understand the families, it's their day. It's the day that they get to celebrate the life of their loved one. And they are so inside that bubble, whereas we are in the bubble of, well, there's several families today that are celebrating the lives of several people, and I need to be there for all of them. And trying to express that in an empathetic way. But at the end of the day, you're right. You can only handle things the best you possibly can. And if it's taken the wrong way, it's taken the wrong way, and just trying to handle that with grace and apologize and move on and not let it affect you.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a textbook on how to run a cemetery. maybe we need to write one. I don't know if anyone would read it or use it, but there's just not a great way to try to hurry people up.
Yeah,
and like you said, you may have another appointment, but you know as well as I do, there are some days where we could have up to five, maybe six funerals in a day.
Yeah.
And neither of us carry staffs that everyone can split up and take a funeral.
Yep, yep.
So you can't be in two places at once.
Yeah.
As much as you want to pretend like you can, it just doesn't work that way. So you try to schedule things so you can be at everything and make sure that everybody is taken care of the way that you think they should be taken care of.
Yep.
Which is, I can say for a fact, because I've known you for a long time, is the only way I try to take care of people is how I'd want to be taken care of when my family member passes.
Yep.
And that's with the utmost respect and trying to go above and beyond as much as possible. So you can only do so much, and you just kind of roll with the punches and go from there. But you just can't be in four places at once.
No. Yeah, it's impossible. I mean, we're going to experience this actually. Well, we're recording this now on Thursday the 6th, but tomorrow on the 7th, we have two funerals here, and they're same exact time, and both in our columbariums, or in two different columbariums. However, the columbariums are 20 feet apart. So how do I handle that? You know, this is difficult. The second funeral home that called, both of them have funeral homes coming, but we had to let the second funeral home know, I apologize, there's another service going on at that exact same time in the exact same location. If we can't change the time, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have the service at a different, I mean, we'll try to get as close as possible, but we'll have to be in a different location. They aren't going to be right next to the columbarium niche. Funeral director wasn't necessarily pleased with that, but what else can I do? And we'll see. I mean, you only can, and you're kind of hoping that the funeral director explains that to the family.
Yeah.
When they come out, we'll find out tomorrow, when they're here and they aren't going to be next to their niche, and we'll see. But there's only so much, like, at the end of the day, all I can do is the best that I can do. I can't unfortunately tell the other family that they can't be there.
Correct.
Too.
Yeah. And to your point, what do you do? Do you allow a family to walk 10 feet next to each other and have a service together?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that if I was at my mom, my dad, my grandmother, my aunts, whoever's funeral of my family member, that I'd want another funeral 10 feet away.
Yeah.
Now, I understand sometimes they're 50 feet, 100 feet away, and there's not much we can do about it. But, you know, by you putting them in a little different area, that's your solution, right? Or you come an hour and a half later.
Yeah.
So you guys decide what works best for you. Whether you like it or not, this is what has to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And all I can do is if a person does come in and complain, or we have a complaint about it in the future, just explain the rationale behind it. And if that's not good enough, well, just apologize to them that I apologize that was your experience. But then you have everything else. So we'll try to set up a tent and put a wall up so that the other family is invisible. So there's trying to be some kind of barrier, and just try your hardest to,
which honestly, that's above and beyond what a lot of cemeteries will do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're doing everything you can.
Yeah.
And that's all that I think people can ask for. Sometimes it gets tough when the funeral directors don't seem to be on our side, which happens once in a while.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that brings up another good point, though. I mean, talking about being an advocate for the families, I try at least to be as helpful to a funeral director and families as and pastors and whatnot, everybody who's out here, be as helpful as possible, because families don't distinguish the difference between a funeral home, the cemetery, the vault driver. We're all one and the same, and if one person messes up, everybody messed up.
Correct.
So the last thing I want to do is withhold information or try to be, you know, snarky to a funeral director or withhold something, because hey, it doesn't help me in the long run. And not only that, it makes life so much easier when you have, when you're nice to somebody and then they come back to you, and because there's going to be something in the future where they'll help you out, especially the vault drivers too.
You know, when you're on the same page, things go so smooth. Yeah. When everybody's on different pages, it can be very difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. Like, there's no, families don't distinguish who's who or what's what. Everybody's together.
Yeah.
And it usually gets blamed on the cemetery because it's the last place that you go.
Yeah.
So we kind of take the brunt of a lot of that. I'm sure funeral homes will disagree with us there, but we do get the brunt of a lot of stuff that happens, and we kind of have to just wear it and go from there. But I think we all have great relationships, at least I do, and I know you do too, with funeral homes, funeral directors. You know, we got their back once in a while. Nobody's perfect. Vault doesn't show up. And you know, we make it a priority at our place, and I know you do too, that if we don't see a vault within an hour and a half, 2 hours, we make a phone call and make sure that one's coming. And sometimes there was an accident made or something was missed and it wasn't coming, but now it is, and everything's going to be okay. Where, you know, I know sometimes there are places that won't make that phone call. And then a vault's not going to show up. And like I said, the problem is when you're at the cemetery, that seems to be whose fault it is. So, you know, we get caught with a lot of that blame. So it's not only watching the back of the funeral director, it's watching our own back too.
No, you're exactly right. And also, I think where it becomes really satisfying is when, like, everything hits the fan. And then you're able to, seconds before the funeral procession comes in the gate, get it all together and make it happen, and the family doesn't know anything otherwise. They think that it was exactly how they imagined what it was supposed to be, and but you know the craziness that led up to it. But, you know, at the end of the day, the family didn't know otherwise, and that's just a fantastic feeling.
Well, that goes back to the fact of we don't get to delay things. Right, we maybe can push a funeral back a little bit, but it usually doesn't work that way. And so if you don't hit a deadline at your job and you get yelled at, but you still get another week to take care of it, or 2 weeks or a month, we don't have those days. Like, we got to get it done. And to your point, sometimes it's literally shooing everybody from your staff away from the site as you're bringing the funeral up. Or you're on a radio and they're telling you to slow down a little bit. You know, so those things happen. And it's a part of it. And it's great when you can make sure that everything works out, which is like 99% of the time. Because we don't have another choice. Because if it doesn't work out, then it's all on us, and then we look really bad.
And we had one, we had a cremation, direct cremation in ground. Family came out, they were talking about burying, I think it was a father, and but no one made any final decisions. And all of a sudden, one day, the family shows up to the cemetery here in suits and whatnot, and they're here for, you know, dad's burial. And it's like, you know, and then you're going through your head, oh my goodness, did I miss something? And then, but then it comes out that, you know, the brother thought the sister was calling us to coordinate, and the sister thought the brother. Well, it's like, and we were very proud. It's like, you get, you go in the back room, you get on the radio with the staff, like, hey, I need everybody to drop everything right now. We need to dig a grave immediately for cremation, you know, let's get this set up. And you just, you know, give some coffees out to some folks, say, I apologize, but we're having a little bit of an issue. It's just going to be a little bit, just if you guys want to hang out here for 15, 20 minutes and they don't know what's necessarily going on, but we're scrambling or, you know, getting our patooties running out there and digging a hole and getting everything set up. But we were able to pull it off. Family didn't really know, the rest of the family, the brother and sister knew, but the rest of the family didn't know what was going on. And
yeah, they didn't know any better. I have a good story about that. To be honest, I thought my dad was crazy. He's like, you got to go dig that hole. And I'm like, we're not going to go dig a hole. What are you talking about? And he's like, this lady's here. She forgot to set everything up. She didn't do anything.
Yeah.
There's 20 people going to be here in 5 minutes. You guys got to get out, dig the hole. And I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trying to fight back, and he looks at me and he goes, what are we here for? What do we do this job for?
Yeah.
You know, and it took me a little bit. I was young, you know, 18 years old, thinking, this is crazy. We can't do this.
This expectation is insane.
Yeah, this is, we cannot just drop everything and be expected to dig a hole in 5 minutes when it takes a half hour when you're hurrying up by yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get it done in 15 minutes. We get it set up. The people all meet at the gate. They're kind of waiting a little bit, like, why aren't we going? And then all of a sudden they get to go. They're none the wiser.
Yeah.
Only the gal who made the mistake is the only one who knows. And afterwards, my dad said, now that's why you do this.
Yeah.
Because everyone just walked out of here and said, what a real nice cemetery Oakland is.
Yeah.
And boy, that was a nice setup, even though you didn't know anything about it.
Yep, yep. And also handling it without getting angry and upset at the person who made the mistake, because that person is most likely going to be your biggest defender from here on out, because they know what you did at that last second to get everything to go for them, because that's a big mistake on there, and they realize that it was, but it didn't affect it. It made it nothing. No one was the wiser. They'll be your biggest defender, and you need those people in your corner.
Yeah, and you're gonna have. Excuse me. You're gonna have this problem with people because they have so much going on.
Yeah.
So much going on. You know, I always think, like, we bring a lot to the table when we're trying to have them sign a contract for purchasing a space or a niche or whatever it is. But they just left a funeral home that they had to do music and food and flowers. And, I mean, 40 things they had to make decisions on.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't made ahead of time, I don't know if people really know how difficult that is to make those decisions on the spot while you're grieving a parent, while trying to figure out how you're going to sell their house, clean up their stuff. You know, there's a lot of that we see day in and day out of people in this spot. And so if you aren't willing to go above and beyond, then you shouldn't be in this business, because, and I found that out, like I said, pretty quickly from my dad, that we do whatever we can for people.
Yeah.
You know, because they're at a point in their life where things are at the lowest and they're trying to get out of it. And the only way they can get out of it is to move forward, and they can't move forward till this gets done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's your point too. I mean, this person who doesn't do this on a daily basis, who has all these things going on, and they forgot to call the cemetery. Well, I mean, it's understandable that could possibly happen when we have, and we're not trying to dump on funeral homes, because we have great relationships with a lot of funeral directors, but how often, you've had it probably happen a handful of times, or it's happened a handful of times here, where a vault shows up at your front door and you're like, what's this for? And, well, the funeral home forgot to call the cemetery to open a grave. Well, okay, let's get out there and open that grave for them. You know, I mean, if a funeral director can forget it, sure, a family member who's dealing with all these things can forget that same thing. So it's and what will we do for the funeral director? We're going to go out there and we're going to dig that hole. We're going to make it happen.
Might tell them they owe us lunch or something, but
well,
we're going to give them crap about it.
Oh, absolutely. But that's just a camaraderie and being able to have good relationships. You got to expect crap for something like that.
And nobody's perfect. You know, we're not trying to say the cemeteries are perfect, because we make mistakes. You know,
speak for yourself.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We have to be a little more, we have to strive for perfection when it comes to laying out graves and things like that, because if we're wrong, it could mean major mistakes and major lawsuits for the cemetery.
Yeah.
So we have to try to be as perfect as humanly possible, which isn't very possible.
Yeah.
So we make mistakes at the cemetery. Like, it's been a tough week for me. I was using our broom, and I clipped a little pole and ended up bending and breaking a piece on the broom.
Oh, no.
You know, and I'm usually the guy telling everyone, don't go that way because the broom sticks out on that side where the hydraulic is.
Yeah. What would you be saying to the employee that did that?
Oh, I wouldn't be happy. But instead, I got to look in the mirror and say, you idiot.
I know. But, you know, you got to chalk that up too when you're explaining things to to new employees and be like, you don't do this and don't ask me why I know you shouldn't do this.
Yeah. Because I just experienced
that. Yeah, exactly. Well, we should probably switch gears a little bit. We're kind of coming to an end here, and maybe promote the September Minnesota Association of Cemeteries convention. We have a place booked. It's going to be in St. Cloud. Is it the Holiday Inn and Suites? Is that where it's at?
Yeah. Is it the Holiday Inn and Suites?
Well, it's a Holiday Inn something.
Yeah,
but it's going to be in the middle of September. We're going to change it up this year a little bit. Typically, we have the management course is on a Tuesday is on a Wednesday, and the conference itself is on Thursday and Friday. This year, we're going to do the management course on a Tuesday, and the conference is going to be on Wednesday and Thursday. That way, you can have your Mondays and Fridays if you need to be back in the office. A couple things. So you figure those are probably the busier days in your office, so it gives you that option. And also, it just happened that the hotel, we couldn't get a hotel up there that could accommodate the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we were forced to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But it'll put us in St. Cloud, which makes it exciting because we'll be close to Cold Spring Granite and a lot of some other vendors and be able to hopefully see some granite and possibly bronze the foundry from Cold Spring. I think will be a fun aspect of the convention.
Yeah, it's been I think we talked with Gary Gerken from Cold Spring Granite, and I think it's been 1992 or 95. I can't remember
mid-90s.
Year since the convention has been in St. Cloud.
Yeah.
So, and I can say from experience, probably been 10 years we've been going now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Has it been that long? Man, we're getting old. 10 years that we have been going now that we haven't been anywhere near St. Cloud. Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. Obviously, there's going to be more details to come. We're working on trying to figure out some speakers and things like that right now. If you do have some ideas, feel free to email us. The board has been meeting, trying to come up with some ideas and also contact some folks. We're working on the management course as well. It's going to be in St. Cloud, and there might be some more exciting things coming about. This is our 101st year. Last year was the 100th. I think the year before that was the 100th as well. No, it was the 99th, but I think it got printed on the program as the 100th, there was two 99s, and that's what it was, and then we had our 100th, so there was some confusion with that.
A couple good inside jokes there.
We were razzed a little bit about that, but we did the math, improperly a couple years ago, and that's why we had two 99s, and then we checked the math and double-checked the math, and that's why last year was our 100th, and this year is our 101st. We're pretty positive. We're right on track.
Yeah, which, you know, talking about the MAC, Dominic and I have really been fortunate to have had a lot of great men and women come before us and turn the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries to what it is today and allow us to kind of come in and now take over as the younger generation taking over these cemeteries and come in and change things up a little bit and kind of just keep things moving forward. But if it wasn't for the generation before us getting it to the place it was, I don't know if it'd be around, because a lot of the cemetery associations from other states have just gone by the wayside.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, our dads and their coworkers and even maybe the generation before that really put the time in to get it to where it is today and allowed us to come in, and now we're trying to move it to more of what today is, more social media, more, you know, AI stuff, right? Yeah. We were talking about that, and you know, just moving things in the in a direction where the cemeteries are going to.
Yeah, yeah, it's exciting, and I really truly enjoy the conference just because it's so nice not only to learn about your industry, because there's really not many other places where you can get content specifically for cemeteries. You can get content specifically for turf. You can get content specifically for, you know, how to manage employees or and things like that, but not specifically for cemeteries. And this is the one outlet where we can hopefully get that to you. But not only that, it's also a good place to have camaraderie and just being able to chat about your work day and what you do on a daily basis, because like we talked about in the beginning, most people in this world, good friends even, it's tough to talk about your work because it's so weird. I guess yeah. It's out there. It's interesting, weird to them. It's interesting. Yeah. I enjoy it though because it's so diverse, but it's hard to relate with other people who have other corporate jobs.
Well, people don't really understand. They think that all day long all you do is see dead bodies and that's it. You know, that was always a question. Do you see dead bodies all day? And realistically, funerals are 30% of what we have to do, maybe. You know, you kind of babysit, you know, we're 100 acres and we just kind of have to babysit 100 acres.
Yeah.
You have to maintain it. You have to do all the repairs, whatever needs to be done within those 100 acres, as well as be a salesman.
Yeah.
And, you know, be
an accountant.
Yeah, an accountant. Be good on the computer, be a secretary. You got to be a little bit of everything.
And
so, you know, you're only as good as your team. And so we build teams for that. But not a lot of people just understand what goes into it. And so when you can go to the Minnesota Association of Cemetery Conference and sit with people and you guys can all understand, you know, what a bad day means.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And kind of relax and unwind and sit at a table and chat and laugh about things that if other people were who are outside our industry come in and sit down and go like, these guys are really strange, but and I guess maybe we are really strange, but, but at the end of the day, it's kind of nice to have that outlet. And that's what I look forward to about the convention and the conference. So that's coming up. And we'll have more information on that. We'll be sending out emails about that and we'll have more information on that in the website. But as a first podcast, Bobby, what do you think? I think we did. I think it went pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're both full of it, so we just kind of keep talking and it works out. I mean, when Dominic and I get together, we're usually the ones talking all the time, so we lead most of the conversations and just about everywhere we go. So
yeah, actually, this is like a phone call. Like Bobby will call me after work, or I'll call Bobby after work, and this is the phone calls we have. And we figured, why the heck aren't we doing, like, we should just do a podcast and just this is basically our phone calls that we chat with about after work. So you're just getting an inside listen to it. So.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah, no, I think it went really well, and, you know, just waiting for any sponsors that want to come in and, you know, pay us some good money, and we'll keep this thing going. And
Yes, we are open to sponsorship, but we don't have – right now I can't say we're sponsored by anybody because we're not, but we're open to that. So, well, perfect. I think we should sign off. Well, Bobby, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, and hopefully we'll see each other next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast so you're notified when new shows are posted. If you'd like to get a hold of us, please email us at info@mncemeteries.org.